This is the Business of Apps podcast, bringing you actionable insights from the leaders of the global app industry and the world's fastest growing apps. You can find more app news, data, and analysis over at businessofapps.com.
Welcome to the Business of Apps podcast. On this show, we invite app industry professionals to cover various topics, and we promise to do our best to keep it both insightful but brief. If you haven't subscribed to our podcast on iTunes, Spotify, or other podcast platforms where you can find us, I strongly encourage you to do that. Once you subscribe, you will be getting episodes of this show on your device as soon as it's available. In this episode, we have Ravi Pimplaskar, Director of Marketing at Digital Turbine. Ravi, welcome to the Business of Us podcast.
Thanks, Art. It's awesome to be here.
It's great to have you on. Thanks for coming. Okay, so I'm going to set up the stage first, which I always do. So let's state the obvious. People love playing games, especially on their smartphones. It's convenient, it's easy, you can do it wherever you want, and spending time in standing in a queue on your commute, like whenever you want to do something fun, just distract yourself from some hard thoughts, it's always helpful to just pull up your smartphone and play a nice game. And the second thing, they do love brands. Now, if you ask a mobile marketer what does it imply, she would tell you that it's a great opportunity on one side to let brands reach out more potential customers, and on the other, for mobile game developers to generate revenue. So far, so good, right?
So far, so good.
Yeah. But what if I tell you there's a report that actually reveals specifically what brand categories prefer who play games in various types of games, such as puzzle, card, word, and action. Sounds even better, right? Well, yeah. Today, Ravi will be talking about Digital Turbine Breg Index 4 report that brings up precisely this information. But first, Ravi, let's kick off with talking about you. Please tell our listeners about yourself.
Sure. As you mentioned, I'm Director of Marketing for Digital Turbine. I run the content marketing unit, which is why you have me here. My team is primarily responsible for collecting the data and putting together this report. But more or less, my job is around telling stories. And I think the brand and game opportunity, which is the crux of the report, I think it's a kind of important story for this year.
All right. So now I want you to give me a quick portrait, a quick thumbnail sketch of what is Digital Turbine. What do you guys do, and what is your mission?
So, Digital Turbine, I think we kind of are an interesting part of the, mobile ecosystem. And I think, at our core, what we're trying to do is connect mobile users with the content and apps they love as easily as possible. And, we have a lot of, kind of different ways to do that, but it is sort of the non-traditional ways. And if you see how sort of the world is evolving, right? Discovery of this apps and content media is becoming more important. We're on our mobile phones. We're so distracted. There's a lot of things out there. A phone itself, perhaps could be more helpful to you in recommending the apps you might like, the content you might need, be a little smarter in that regard. The Digital Turbine suite of solutions, I think, enables a lot of that discovery to bring people closer to that app and those apps and content that they really need, that really kind of make their life better.
Well, it totally makes sense. We live in a world full of apps. I don't know, people have stopped quoting these numbers that there are like 5 million apps in total combined Android and iOS, because it doesn't make much of a sense. It's just a huge number of apps. And some apps you're looking, yourself, when you have a specific problem, you look up your app store and see if there's an app for that to fix that thing for you or give you that piece of information. But on many occasions, you're just not aware of new, more useful apps for you, for your needs. And there's got to be some platform that it will help you to navigate this sea of apps and give you good recommendations that actually meet your needs and be helpful for you.
Yeah, and definitely, if you think about how we sort of manage our smartphones, they've become sort of, I don't know how many apps you have in your smartphone and stuff, but they become kind of almost impossible to manage. You forget about apps that you have.
True.
You know, when people are so judicious, like when they hear about another app or they see another app, they're not immediately going to install it, like just because they want to check it out and stuff. It's going to have to be something that's really worth it to them. So, which is why you can kind of get into that discovery mode where they can kind of be put into a moment where like, okay, you know, this is something that actually could be useful to me because it's more local to where I am. It fits an immediate need. It fits kind of the other apps that I like. You're going to be more likely to get over that judicious hump and download it. You know, for me, I was trying to say what the last app I downloaded was. It was because I parked my car. Right. And I needed an app, you know, right. That's not really an app I'm probably gonna need for any other instance. So it's, you know, something I likely will delete afterwards, but you know what, an app that I might use ongoing and so forth. Those are the sort of apps that we kind of want to bring to the forefront.
Yeah, absolutely. If I think about it, like what app I downloaded the last probably was the app for the library, Canadian system of libraries, which is really a neat app to read books online. But it feels like at this point, people who have smartphones in their pockets, they've filled the major need of like things like navigation, connecting with other people, e-commerce, search, all these big buckets. And the new apps are coming from like specific needs, just like you're saying. You park a car somewhere, you are going to the next mall, probably there's an app in that mall to navigate through the whole set of shops in that mall for you to be more efficient with your time. Things like that, like small apps that do make sense for you in a specific situation. This is how your library is actually growing. I personally find myself on many occasions when I go to the Safari browser to check out some store in the mall, realizing that I do have the app for that store already. It's sitting in my library. I just forgot about that app. It's there. So I think my number is like close to 200 apps, like probably on close to an average for app users. Mm-hmm. But let's go to the report. So describe me the Bragg Index report and its methodology.
Yeah, so we just talked about, you know, this judicious nature of apps. Like, for example, I use Uber. If you're going to be another rideshare app, I'm not probably going to jump on right away. You know, games are actually a little different. Like games like that, people finish games, right? Or they get bored of games. And so there are something that people kind of jump into and churn through and go through quite a bit. What we wanted to focus on in the report is kind of like this idea of like these games just kind of growing and rising in popularity and something that people kind of continue to move towards, gravitate towards, get more of. It's the one app that people are less judicious about. And so we created something that was called the Bragg Report, specifically the big opportunity, with that acronym being brands and games, so for big. Mm-hmm. What we did for the report is we work with a data partner called the Global Web Index, or GWI. Here we did a survey specifically of 1,200 mobile game players in the US. It was conducted in 2023. And then the survey asked them a bunch of questions about their mobile game usage, their app usage, their interests, their online and offline behaviors. And then the important thing for us was we went into their sort of brand preferences and purchase behavior. So to kind of see the affinity they had for different brands.
Yeah, that's a really interesting insight. And it's totally true that apps that you're using daily that kind of became the verb in English, like Uber is like the synonym for transportation, just like Xerox used to be the became a verb for copying. Google became a verb for search. And these apps are staples, but that's not the story with games.
You're actually very right. Like if you're going to go someplace, you don't say, I'm going to take a taxi. You say, I'm going to Uber over, right?
Uber over. Like that's like you stop noticing that you're actually using company name as a verb. Yeah. But for games, that's like you really have to scratch your head. Like, what are the games services that sticky? They're just very, very few. They're emotional. They are You're just getting older over time. Like you played this game a few years ago. Now your interests are shifting. You're with somebody else, new friends, new suggestions. So it's very fluid, dynamic market. What are the biggest highlights from the report so people could comprehend its significance?
Yeah, we look at towards the end of 2023, one of the things that we really saw, we saw it in Digiday, VentureBeat, AdExchanger, probably even in Business of Apps, but there was a significant topic for trend reports in 2024 was that mobile games was going to be this big growing opportunity that people were going to jump onto. Specifically talking about the ad market, how advertisers, right, like have are going to start shifting their spend towards mobile games, maybe away from social media or other platforms. The reason being for that is that what we were just talking about, people have really kind of started shifting their time spent on mobile to games to the point where the advertisers, they just can no longer afford to ignore it. And the reason, or at least, hypothetically, the reason that advertisers might have been ignoring it is that there might be this myth of that there's a certain type of people that play games. And really what this report proves is that that's kind of incorrect. The amount of people that play games has become to this massive number. It's 150 million that we put into this report. And the amount of time that they spend actually rivals these popular social platforms like Facebook and YouTube, et cetera. So, if there's a lot of people spending a lot of time there in mobile, that's where the dollars eventually should gravitate. The other side of it, though, for game developers have really done a great job about creating ad experience in games that often will give better results and better experiences to the user. For example, video ads and rewarded ads, they do garner much more attention than other mobile video ads. We have in the report showing that, these rewarded ads in games can get 22 seconds of attention, which, on YouTube, that can be, about anywhere between 5 and 10 times less. The other thing about games is that you kind of get a much more captive, less cluttered sort of environment for ads. It gives the brands this much bigger opportunity to stand out. And the simple truth, going back to the point, is that everyone plays games because, there's a mobile game out there for everyone. And, we actually broke up the report to the four most popular genres, which are card, action, puzzle, and word. But, there literally is all different types of games out there. And so if you think about the diversity of people in the world, of course, there's diversity of games, and all you got to do is find one of the ones you like.
You know what? I sometimes try to imagine what a life of a brand marketer looks like. So, like, it's an, never stops. It's an ongoing game of making sure I do understand where my current and potential customers are spending its time and when there's their attention. Used to be just billboard next to the road. Then came the internet. The landscape became huge. Then came social media. We all know that yes, these days social media and advertising are not that coming along together as they used to. And like the next frontier will be games, where people are more receptive. There's a really good mix, a really good chemistry between their specific mood when they're playing a game and specific brand that can be irrelevant to that person when he or she's playing that game. So that's why I gather brands are shifting towards games as the next frontier, right? And your reports give them a good food for thought to understand how exactly it works, right?
Definitely. And one of the things that I like to always point out about mobile games is that, if you're actually on a social media site and you see a piece of content and you click, you might actually go off to this other site, redirected through something in, the Google network, that you're just not even aware of the URL. And it could be almost anything, right? The with any mobile game, you know that somebody clicked on that game to open it up because they wanted to play it. That means they've opted into that enjoyment. They are like almost self-opting in, self-telling you they're a fan, that this is something that they actually enjoy. And that should be a brand safe, brand friendly, user experience.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially brand friendly, because this is the game. You know precisely what kind of content people are interacting with. It's not a game of chance when the social media can be anything. Here, you know precisely what kind of environment people are in when they're engaging with your brand ad, which is really helpful, really gives you
Absolutely.
Good sleep at night knowing that you're playing on the field. You know exactly what the rules of the play field.
Exactly right. You're not going to be redirected someplace else. No. You're there.
you're not. So let's give a quick kind of a thumbnail sketch of a mobile games market today. How does it look like in numbers? Like,
yeah, so, you know, as I mentioned, there's 150 people out there who play mobile games. You know, we've kind of talked about percentages. It's, you know, about 75% of people have some sort of mobile game that they spend some time in from a behavioral perspective. What, you know, the reality of games is that phones themselves are a kill time tool. I mean, the reason that social media advertising became so popular is because, you know, people were going to social media to kill time. It's the big point of a phone is that we can put the entertainment of our choice at our fingertips. And, you know, people, I think before, you know, the mobile game environment became so popular, they thought of like video gamers as like these people who have these long epic battles or play these sports games or whatnot. But there's always been these casual games. Like you think of Tetris, you think of Minesweeper, these other games that actually had this mass appeal on digital platforms. So now there's like there's hundreds of types of those types of games out there. Many of them have this mass appeal, but even that's not important. Because we all can, like I was saying before, they're so diverse, we can all find a game that we love. Me specifically, like I don't think of myself as a gamer per se, but I certainly am a mobile gamer because I will spend time daily playing Words with Friends. It's my one game of choice that I play. There's I don't know if there's a TV show I'm currently watching called Brooklyn Nine-Nine, very funny show, but there's an episode in it that cracks me up because there's this no-nonsense sergeant and he, you know, very serious dude, but he gets addicted to basically, it's not called Candy Crush, but it is some sort of version of that game. And he can't stop playing it. He just gets so addicted to it and stuff. And so like if this no-nonsense cop is like, you know, getting addicted to a game and wanting to play it all the time, there really is going to be something out there for everybody.
Yeah, absolutely. This is just a cliche that the games are for folks who are playing nonstop and are sitting in the basement of their grandparents all the time. No, absolutely not. Just like thinking that if you're on the road, people who are driving heavy Jeeps will be, you know, bulky guys. No. You will find women sitting inside precisely because they feel more safe inside a big car. Just, you know, this is kind of a cliche we're talking about. Games are really for so many people. It's just not obvious, you know, for that. For some people, you will think not a chance they would play games, especially that, you know, casual games that we're describing right now. But in reality, that's the case. Like they are just human beings, that just like we are. But yeah, it's really interesting insight into human psyche.
And you know, I think that sort of like there's been the stereotype of the video gamer, right, from back in the day, and you see like you know, one type of person, maybe a young guy. And I
never grew up.
You can't carry that over to mobile games because, you know, it is literally the entertainment of our choice at our fingertips. Everybody likes playing some sort of game. They just got to find the one they like.
Yeah, exactly. So the world of games, mobile devices, like we said, is huge and multifaceted. Let's talk about the specific types of games that got into your report. Just like you've said, four categories. I'm going to start with word search games category. So what does the report reveal about the audience and its potential for brands?
Yeah, so, you know, like I said, word games, that's my choice. But, you know, what we really found in that report, and again, what we did is we sort of indexed the people who play word games against certain brands. And we really found that they had an affinity for fitness and travel. Some of their top brands included, you know, Red Bull, Delta Airlines, Panera Bread. But one of the things, you know, word games, which isn't surprising, they are avid readers. Their top ad categories include news and magazine apps.
Yeah, makes sense.
Also, you know, word games are really like for brands that are trying to find a particular audience. Like parents index very highly with word games. Me being one myself, maybe that makes sense and stuff. But it's maybe something we can actually do while we're watching our kids. Doesn't take a lot of our attention, but you know that it is something. If you're looking for parents, you know, a lot they index very highly compared to the general population in word games.
Yeah, exactly. Just like we've said, the game categories, it's a good I don't want to say filter, but the way of assessing what would be relevant for that people without asking them specifically. You don't have to conduct the research. just like you're saying, word game implies people are into reading. So exactly, if you are a publication, you know that there's a big chance that most likely these people will be into my stuff as opposed to people who are not into board games. Next up is puzzle games. So let's solve this puzzle for brands. What do we know about people who are into puzzle games and what brand categories are relevant to them?
Yeah, so, you know, puzzle gamers, what we really found about their interests is they gravitate towards beauty and adventure. The favorite brands like beauty products like Aveeno, they're into Travelocity, Lululemon's another one of the favorite brands. One of the things that we did find about puzzle gamers, really the travel. So, you know, that Sudoku player sitting next to you on flights, that might be more normal than you think. They're really into their travel. The interesting thing that... they're really a puzzle too when it comes to their shopping preferences. They were across the board. They actually favor premium brands like Nordstrom and Sephora, but as well, they actually do also favor a lot more budget-oriented brands like JCPenney, Marshall, and IKEA.
So I would assume they are into a challenge for themselves. If they're solving puzzles, they want to see if I can afford that brand. Well, what would be that brand?
Maybe that's it. The puzzle pieces of you know, the more premium stuff. Budget kind of stuff.
Exactly. They're right. Kind of a building on that idea of a puzzle in the game, just kind of enlarging the puzzle into their habits in shopping. Okay, I'm moving along to the next one, which is card games. So what does the report reveal about the intersection of card games and specific brand categories?
Yeah, so, you know, they actually experience a penchant for beauty. They are very into more the fast fashion type of brands and also do-it-yourself projects. So some of their favorite brands are Tarte Cosmetics, Ace Hardware, and Shein, honestly. But one of the things that I found very interesting about card gamers, that they are, as you might imagine, they're a very competitive lot. So they like watching and playing sports as two of their top interests. And their top two app categories are health and fitness and sports apps. Also, card gamers, just like they would be playing cards in real life, they really like their pizza and beer. Three of their top five QSR brands are pizza joints, and they index off the charts for beer brands like Corona and Budweiser.
Amazing. So this is a window into people's psychology. Like, that's just awesome. I mean... This is, I think it's, it will be, the report can be helpful not only for brands, but for people who are conducting social psychology research.
Definitely, right.
To connect these dots and see, okay, if I want to conduct my next research, wouldn't it be great if I can approach people who I know do play card games is my, you know, research audience, like is my testing group. Finally, action games. So people who are into this genre, I would imagine, are really into, I know, high adrenaline in this life. So what does the Breg Index for report have to say about their preferences and brands?
Or you actually just nailed it. Action gamers, they take their action offline, right? They may be playing the games, but they want that adrenaline anywhere they can get it. So they enjoy this adventure sports and outdoor activities. They really align with brands like Jordan, Levi's, and Travelocity. Like, their top interests are extreme sports and playing sports, believe it or not. And one of the funniest things I actually found, these action gamers who are always in search for adrenaline, they love their energy drinks. They love Red Bull. They love Powerade. They love Monster. So they're all about their adrenaline junkies, no matter where they are.
Yeah, this is awesome. Again, this is a great insight if you want to spot the audience for your next beverage. And you know this, you have this portrait, you have this persona in your head as a marketer, and you're looking for these people. And this is a great way of reaching out to these people, knowing these people are into action games. And then we will be receptive to your message because they do love adrenaline a lot.
Yeah. And I will tell you, you know, when we talk about our indexes, in many of these cases, with these brands and these interests that I'm mentioning are well over indexed. So you're not just talking about like, oh, like 5% more likely. We're talking about like 40 to 80% more likely to be into these brands and interests than the regular human.
Got it. So the signal is clear. It's not just an margin of error. The numbers do speak the story that this is the case.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. All right. So these are only a few categories, the top categories, the most popular. that came into the report. And obviously, we don't have time to cover the whole report in details, so you guys have to check it out from the link I will put into the description of this episode, or just go directly to the Digital Turbine and find the report there. And this is actually the final point on the first part of the show. We're transitioning, excuse me, to the next one, which is dedicated to a few questions I ask every new guest on the show, and you come to the show for the first time. But you get to answer just a few quick questions because I want to give my people kind of a quick portrait, let them know my guest a little bit better. Here we go. So what smartphone do you have now? Have you been switching between these two giants, Android and iOS, or one side all the time?
I have an iPhone 13, and I've pretty much been consistent with iPhone.
Gotcha. So you're on that side of the equation. All right, let's jump back in time. What was your first mobile phone?
Oh, good one. I'm not sure. I know my first smart-esque phone was the Palm Pre of all things.
Oh boy, I do remember those phones vaguely, but yeah, I think I can still dig it up from my memory. Back to present. I imagine you've left your smartphone at home when you're out. And at that point, what's the most missing feature for you?
Oh God, well, the first thing is my wife is really mad at me because I'm not answering her texts. But the second thing is, my calendar, my entire calendar is on there. So I would not know where I need to be, which means I'll probably just go home anyway and get yelled at by my wife.
Gotcha. Okay. Now, we're always looking for new things in the devices we use. And if you look at your iPhone 13, and probably just any iPhone, any model, even the latest, hardware, software-wise, what's the most missing feature for you specifically? Not trendy stuff, not like, you know, the stuff that people have been covering in the tech media, just what will make a better device for you?
Yeah, so I mean, I think if you think about all the breakthrough technologies, they've all sort of simplified life for us. They remove processes, they bring things so simpler. So look, I was talking about what Digital Turbine does. You know, I want something recommended for me that is going to make it easier for me to find the things that I like. And, you know, I think that, you know, phones can now sit at the intersection of, you know, our mobile entertainment and AI, and really kind of make themselves personalized and helping us discover those things that we like.
Yeah, that would be great. I hold my breath waiting for Apple will reveal this next month at the WWDC, what the iOS and the next version will look like in terms of AI. Like, where are they in this equation? Where everybody else are on board, and it's just basically people are waiting what Apple has to say.
Right. Oh, right. But one of the great things about the Apple phone, I will say, is that their interconnectivity between all the different apps that are Apple owned. And so it makes you actually can shift seamlessly between them, you know, and kind of find the things that you like easier. I would think that they, you know, over time, they're just going to get smarter and understand that, like, you want to go, you know, watch this show if it comes out on Apple TV, you know what exactly you want on Apple News, which they do recommend stuff, but I think they're just going to get better at it. So, you know, really looking at that intersection of personalizing the smartphone to make it more usable, user-friendly for you.
Totally agree with you, Ravi. Yep, they know that only when all devices they're selling make sense as a whole, together for your life, only in that case they're winning their hearts and the wallets of the customers, where the whole ecosystem of devices do make sense and do help people to improve their lives and be meaningful.
Yeah.
Okay. Before I let you go, very, very final question. How can people get in touch with you and get more information about what you do?
Oh, certainly. LinkedIn is probably the best way. Ravi, and then the first four letters of my last name are Pimp, so I'm easy to find in that regard. Not many other people with my last name out there. So just drop me a line on LinkedIn. I'd love to hear from you.
Great. Ravi, thank you so much for spending time with us and being on the show. Thank you for coming. Bye-bye.
All right, yeah. A lot of fun. Thank you.
And that was Ravi Pimpaskar, Director of Marketing at Digital Turbine. To listen to more episodes, subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts. Just search for Business of Apps and you will find us easily. Remember, We release episodes on Mondays, so subscribe and you will be getting new episodes of this show on your smartphone, tablet, or computer as soon as they're available. And please don't forget to leave us a review or comment on iTunes. It is highly appreciated. And all episodes will also be available on businessofapps.com. Thank you for listening. See you next week.
Thank you for listening to the Business of Apps podcast. For more, head on over to businessofapps.com.